Books of the Bible. Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians to further encourage and instruct them in the face of persecution. Some Thessalonians feared that they had missed the Lord's return. Paul reminds them that God will punish those who persecute the church, and he will be faithful to return for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, did you hear any of that stuff? Tell me what you thought about what I just said, okay? What's your name?
Aaron.
Aaron, what'd you think about what we just talked about?
Well, considering I was answering a lot of the questions for her, I just graduated from the University of St. Thomas, a Catholic school, so I've been drilled with that information for the past 4 years.
Do you believe that information?
I do.
That thing about the parachute and putting on Jesus Christ, right. What do you think about that concept?
I think that's completely true, because if you don't live your life as a Christian and show it for other people to see, then you're not really spreading God's love and God's word the way that you should be.
A lot of people talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's really the primary thing is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, about knowing him. Do you think that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Yeah, I do. I'm probably not as strong as a relationship as what I should.
What does that mean?
Well, oftentimes you feel like you could do more, or you don't pray enough, or you don't...
How often do you pray?
Every day.
How often do you read your Bible?
Ooh, not very often.
When is the last time you read your Bible?
Probably by myself, not for months, but...
Are you engaged or married or anything?
No.
Boyfriend?
Yep.
Okay, let's just say that you went away on a trip, okay, and you were gone because you had to work for 3 months. And your boyfriend sent you love letters and called and left messages at the hotel desk, but you never took the time to open up his letters and you never returned his phone calls. Now, if I were just examining that, what do you think I would conclude about how you feel about your boyfriend?
I don't feel anything for my boyfriend.
Okay, so do you think it's been at least 3 months since you've read your Bible?
Yeah, that I've actually opened it myself and read it, but I actively go to church every Sunday and am involved in youth groups. So in a way, I'm reading the Bible indirectly, but not...
Okay, but you hear the analogy, don't you? That right. You'd probably conclude, maybe that person isn't very fond of the person sending the letters. That's what the Bible is. It's a bunch of letters to us from God. So what do you think somebody might conclude if they saw your Christian walk, your relationship with him, and you weren't ever reading his love letters to you?
Not good.
Yeah, so why do you think it's not as good as it should be?
Time. I think that's a problem. Maybe even sometimes I need a reminder. I think if I had someone calling me every night to tell me to do it, then obviously I would do it more often. It's not that I don't want to. It's just I'm tired. I go right to bed, and it's not that I can't just do it at night, but I think time.
Can I share something with you? You seem like a very nice person. You really do seem like a nice person. That you've you do, and you've thought some of these things through, and you go to church and what have you. I used to be that way a lot, too. I kind of acknowledged God, and I went, oh, yes, he definitely exists. And I believed it, but I never put him on. And the reason I didn't put him on was because I thought that God was just this big, nice guy out there who just kind of existed to take care of us and do nice things for us. But then I learned that what the Bible says is that he is loving, but he's also righteous, and he's just, and he's holy. And there's going to come a day of judgment when he judges us for everything that we do and think. And when I understood that, and when I understood the Ten Commandments is how he's going to judge us, because the Ten Commandments are the perfect example of God's character. And I realized, whoa, I am not going to do well on that day of judgment. And the only way that I can access that forgiveness of Jesus dying on the cross is if I repent and put my trust in the one who, despite the fact that he really should send me to hell, instead, he chose to die for me, which is just like the opposite extreme. And when I really started to understand that, wow, instead of punishing me, he took the punishment for me, and I repented. I got on my knees, and I begged God to forgive me for it. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry, and I promise I'm going to live my life for you instead of me now. That's when it all changed. I got saved. And then the craziest thing happened. I just started reading my Bible because I wanted to. And I prayed because I just wanted to talk to that one that did that incredible thing for me. So I wonder, do you think maybe that might be the problem with your Christian walk, is that you've never really recognized and understood the exceeding sinfulness of your sin and God's amazing grace in saving us? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, somewhat, but I don't think I agree with the fact that I need to get down on my knees and ask for or beg for what.
Why not?
I don't know. I just think there's other ways of going about that. And
how do you think that is?
I don't even know a good example. It's just like just living your life as a true Christian. I think God realizes that, not necessarily. I guess, I don't know, I kind of go both ways. I guess it is necessary to maybe ask for that, and I do ask for forgiveness, and I do ask to be part of God's kingdom and everything like that, but I don't think it's necessary to...
What happened to Jesus was he got whipped with something called a cat of nine tails. Do you know what that is? And they would whip their back, and flesh was torn off of his back. They beat his back, and they beat his legs. They punched him in the face. They spit on him. They smashed thorns on his head, and then they drove nails into his wrist. And then they also said that what they've learned is that the nails didn't go through the top of the feet. You know, you probably see the picture of Jesus dying and the nails went through the top of his feet. Well, because the nails that they find near crucifixion sites aren't long enough for that, they think that what they did was instead they banged the nails through the Achilles right here and nailed their feet to the side of the cross. So knowing that, that God hates sin that much, that he punished his own son that much for sin, you don't think it's appropriate to get on your knees and beg God for mercy when he obviously hates sin that much?
I do, but I don't. I don't think it's necessary to get on your knees and beg for it.
He's just going to give it to you. Why?
No, I don't think he's just going to give it to you, but I don't think you literally need to get on your knees and beg for it.
All right, let's go back to your boyfriend scenario, okay? How close are you with your boyfriend?
Very close.
Okay, so your boyfriend, it turns out, just had an affair with her.
Okay, then I would get on my knees and beg for it. I could see where this one's going.
Yeah,
Well, I don't know, actually.
Well, if let's say your boyfriend had an affair with her, with Lindsay, all right? And your boyfriend came to you and said, hey, I had an affair with Lindsay. I just wanted you to know that. And I'm going to try to be pretty good from now on. Right. Do you think you'd take him back?
Probably over time. Actually,
you'd expect a little more, wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, if he was really sorry, there'd probably be tears. He'd be sorry. He'd be begging for your forgiveness.
Yep.
Okay, see, that's a good analogy. We need to understand how God feels about our sin. And until we do, we're just going to treat God kind of casually. But when you understand that, yes, he's love, but he's also a righteous judge who hates sin so much. What the Bible says that when that happened to Jesus, the Bible actually says it pleased God that that happened. When we understand that.
Do you think the only way... Or you're treating God casually if you don't get on your knees and beg for his...
Well, let's go back to your boyfriend. Do you think he'd be treating you kind of casually if he wasn't a little bit sorrowful?
Yeah, but he's not God also.
No, but we're talking about your position before God. I mean, how's about with your parents? Let's say that you were a kid and you ever break something, ever wreck something of your parents, and you stood before your parents and you said, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry I broke that really expensive vase. I'm going to work really hard on not doing it again, and I'm going to be a pretty good kid. Your parents would probably be a little torqued with a rather casual response to breaking something very valuable, wouldn't they?
Right. But do you consider praying to God for forgiveness and being a part of his kingdom and everything acceptable, or is it just literally getting on your knees and begging?
Well, see, I don't know what posture you need to assume, because I don't think God judges the posture, but I think it's probably indicative of how you're really feeling in your heart.
Well, then, you know, that's different. I mean, just by being in Christian relationships, being in Christian youth groups.
Well, see, he's not looking for that. He's not looking for that. Well, that's what the Bible says. Here's what I want to let me share something really interesting with you. When the angel came to Mary and said, hey, you're going to have a baby, she said, I can't have a baby because I've never known a man. The word to know, I've never known a man. And we know that that's an intimate thing, right? And what Jesus says is, when on the day of judgment, some people are going to say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things. I did this. I clothed people. I fed people. I did all kinds of things in your name, Jesus. And he's going to say, depart from me, you wicked one, into everlasting hellfire. I never knew you. And it's the same word that Mary used about knowing a man. See, God wants an intimate, knowing relationship with you.
Right.
What's most important is not the stuff that you do.
So if you don't pray,
it's your relationship to him.
But you're getting to know God when you're in church and when you're in youth groups and when you're singing and praising him. I mean, it's not...
Well, I'm going to try another analogy with your boyfriend, okay?
Back to work soon.
Okay, let's go back to your boyfriend. Your boyfriend says, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. Don't want to spend a whole lot of time with you, but I'm going to go see a lot of movies, and I'll think about you sometimes, and I'm going to go out to dinner without you, but we'll still be dating, and we're going to have a close relationship. What would you think about that?
I would say no. But then again, I would go back and say that a boyfriend and Jesus Christ are two different people.
Absolutely they are. But that's what he wants. See, he doesn't want us to just be tripping through life for ourselves. He wants us to live for him. And if we don't exhibit that through what we do, it proves that, well, we really don't feel that way about him. And what he says is, sorry, depart from me, you wicked one, in everlasting hellfire. I never knew you. See, he wants to know you. No, you know what? The reason that I'm not out here to make people feel bad, I'm hoping that people will understand what the Bible says, so that when you do die, that you're safe, you're taken care of, and the other nice thing is, all he wants to do is save you. It's not like he wants to torture you, make you a member of a cult. He just wants to have a relationship with you, and have you live your life for him. So that's not a horrible thing.
No, it's not too bad.
But you recognize, probably rightly so, you recognize it asks for a lifestyle change.
Yeah, it does. And I think the way you're describing it is obviously a true, perfect Christian in probably God's eyes. But I think, and not saying that it can't happen, but living in today's society, it's really hard to do exactly everything that the Bible says. And
we can't be perfect, but I don't think that God's going to be tricked or fooled any more than you'd be tricked by a boyfriend who kind of gives some attention to you. You're not going to be fooled by that. You're going to know the difference, and God will too.
Mm-hmm.
This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what keeps us up at night? It's watching our culture spread away from biblical truth like it's running a marathon in the wrong direction. But here's the thing. While others might be tiptoeing around tough issues, we're digging our heels in and standing firm. That's kind of our thing at Fortis Institute. And right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December 31st, up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching, it literally doubles in impact. Listen, I'm not just talking about keeping the lights on, I'm talking about equipping believers, strengthening local churches, and being that clear voice of truth in a world that desperately needs it. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? Well, your money can. That's right. Thanks to a $500,000 matching grant, every dollar you give to Fortis Institute is literally having an identity crisis. It thinks it's $2. And who are we to argue with confused currency? And I know what you're thinking. It sounds like one of those too good to be true deals. But I promise there is no fine print, no while supplies last, and definitely no purchase of additional items required. Just straight up dollar for dollar matching. Here's the deal. You gift $100, it becomes $200. Gift $500, it transforms into $1,000 faster than you can say tax deductible donation. And if you're feeling really generous, $5,000 becomes $10,000. But unlike those infomercial offers that run every other week, this one, it really does have an expiration date, December 31st. That's when this magical money multiplying moment ends. Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now. That's fortisinstitute.org. In a world where everything seems to be getting smaller, isn't it nice to see your impact getting bigger? fortisinstitute.org.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All righty, here we go. Let's wander up to this guy sitting on the step here reading something. I wonder if he'll talk to me on the radio. Sir, would you be willing to talk to me on the radio? What are you reading about, tattoos?
Tattoo magazine.
There's a magazine dedicated to tattoos, huh?
Quite a few of them, yeah.
Is that more than one, really?
Yeah. Cool.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
What's your name?
My name is Garrett.
Garrett, you got one tattoo on your arm, right?
I got one here and then one on my back.
And what exactly do these tattoos represent?
Well, this one is the Sacred Heart. It's like old school Catholic type art. And the one on my back, it says agape. It's a...
love?
Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. And it is just a huge agape. Cool. Very nice. Christ's love for men. What does that mean?
It's there's three different kinds of love in ancient Greek, and one is like brotherly love, and one is like love between, you know, husband and wife, and the other one is between God and man. And God's love for man, you know, he sent his only son to come to this earth and die to pay for all of our sins.
Is that right? So that must be what you believe about God, huh?
Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe that he sent his only one and only son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth and die and sacrifice.
Why do you have to do that?
Well, you know, we're all born sinners, and we can't take away our own sin. Christ was pure. He was without flaw, sinless, and he came as the Lamb of God to sacrifice himself to pay for all of our sins.
So let's say that I want that. How do I get that forgiveness?
Right. You know, if you're searching for that, it's pretty easy. I mean, it's a confession of the heart, you know. It's a belief that you know, you're born a sinner, you know, and you have to admit that at first, you know. You just say, look, you know, I am a sinner, and you have to realize that. And to pray and ask God for your forgiveness, and to believe that he is the only way to heaven. That he did send his one and only son to pay for your sins and to ask Christ to come into your life and to forgive you of those sins.
And what if I don't do that?
Well, I mean, you know, if that's the way your boat floats, but it's the one and true way to heaven. And
so if I understood that, if I don't do what you just said, I'm going to hell?
Yeah, pretty much.
So everybody's going to hell who doesn't believe what you just said?
Yeah.
And what about little babies in Africa who never get to hear what you just talked about?
Well, you know, there's different ways God speaks to people, you know, to the way that he feels, you know. And if they, you know, it's a different personal belief, I guess, is what I'm saying. There are missionaries that go to Africa and stuff.
So, but they still have to believe in Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when was the last time you read your Bible?
3 days ago, actually.
How often do you read that book?
I try every day, but, you know, that is definitely one of the struggles for myself, is just a daily walk with Christ, a daily relationship with him.
That's a struggle for you. How come?
Well, it's just, you get busy, and, you know, it's sometimes I find it hard to find time to read my Bible and to study with God and stuff, and to spend time in prayer, and, but, you know, prayer is a different thing. It's also talking to God, having conversations with God, and you don't have to be in church to do that or whatever, you know.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
A good person. I would say definitely not bad. I mean, I have my struggles, but yeah, I'm a pretty good guy.
Are you one of those born-again Christians?
Yeah, I'm definitely a born-again Christian. I became a Christian at about 7 years old, and I didn't really understand what it meant, you know. I was just kind of raised in the church and stuff. But my senior year of high school, I kind of, you know, I was kind of tired of just the emptiness that I had, because I was looking for, you know, in drugs and girls and stuff to fill a hole in my life. And really, it was God that I needed, you know. So I rededicated my life to Christ, and I, you know, I told him, I was like, hey, man, I can't do this on my own, you know, and I need God's help. And so I'm definitely living my life for Christ now.
So, I just heard you say two things.
Yeah.
I thought you just said that you believe in Jesus because he died for your sins. But then I heard you say that you decided to believe in Jesus because you were feeling kind of empty and you couldn't do life by yourself. Which one is it?
Well, it's what I meant was, okay, I knew when I was young that, you know, this is the way, and the reason why is because you're born with sin in your life. It doesn't take away the sin in your life, but he does forgive you for the sins in your life. And so, like, when I was young and I came to know Christ, I didn't really understand the full package, I guess. You know, I knew I was saved, but I wasn't living my life for Christ. You know, I just kind of did my own thing and all that, but it definitely wasn't pleasing to me. You know, life isn't grand and isn't easy. It's actually a lot harder when you decide to give your life to Christ.
So what was your motive for believing in Jesus Christ?
I know that he is the one true way to heaven, and he is, he's definitely love. He's an awesome dude. He really is. Christ is awesome. He gives you love unconditionally. You know, he's forgiving, and he's always going to be here for you no matter what. And just the fact that I know that there's nothing on this earth that can fulfill my joy more than Christ, you know?
Okay, so you're really convinced of this, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so if you think that everybody in this plaza needs to believe that in order to go to heaven, do you tell people this a lot?
Yeah, you know, but I'm definitely outspoken about it. I'm not preachy, though. There's a lot of Christians out there that I believe it's between them and God the way that they want to witness to people and stuff, you know, but I'm more or less witnessed by my actions.
Right, but if, like that woman, see that nice lady over there reading her book?
Yeah.
Let's just say that she's going to hell because she doesn't believe what you believe. How come we don't talk to her about it?
Well, it's not that I wouldn't. You know, I mean, I would definitely be fine with coming up and, you know, talking to her about it and stuff. It's just that sometimes when you're preachy like that, it rather more just turns people off to Christ than onto him, you know? And so, like, honestly, in that random situation, I would rather just, like, pray for her, you know? And I do that, too. When I see people, I'm kind of just like, you know, God, reach that person, you know, and help them out. And
okay, so let's say that joy that you're talking about. What if life gets hard? I mean, what if you get cancer and you're in a hospital bed and suddenly God isn't, what did you call Jesus, a groovy dude or an awesome dude? A pretty cool guy. So let's say bad things like that start to happen. Are you still going to believe?
Oh, definitely.
Why?
Because, I mean, you know, there's life, you know, life goes on as it is, but, you know, there's, God can take the worst situation and pull the best out of it, you know?
I'm going to tell you a story.
All right.
And I want you to tell me which one of these people you are.
All right.
Okay? I'm going to tell you the story about two people getting onto an airplane. And the first guy gets onto an airplane, and the flight attendant hands him a parachute and says, "Here, put this parachute on. It'll make your flight better." The guy gets on the plane, gets his stuff stowed away in the overhead compartment, sits down, and thinks, you know, I sure would like a nice flight. I don't like flying very much. Last time I flew, it wasn't very fun at all. That lady sure was nice and trustworthy. I'm going to put the parachute on and see if it makes my flight better. So the guy puts the parachute on, and it's kind of heavy, and it's awkward, and it's heavy, and it makes him lean forward, and the seatbelt cuts into his middle. And more than that, the people on the airplane start to point and laugh at him because he's wearing a parachute inside of an airplane. So the guy gets really sort of disgusted. He's uncomfortable. People are laughing at him. So he takes off the parachute, and he stuffs it underneath the seat because it didn't make his flight better. Now, let's contrast that to guy number two. Guy number two gets onto the airplane, and the flight attendant says, "Here, put this parachute on at 30,000 feet. This plane is going to go down, and if you don't have this parachute on, you're going down with it." The guy rips the parachute out of her hand, puts it on before he can get to his seat, sits down. Even though it's heavy, it's uncomfortable, it's awkward, the seatbelt cuts into his middle, and despite the fact that people point and giggle, he doesn't take off the parachute. And he doesn't take off the parachute because he didn't put it on to make his flight better. He put it on to save himself from the wrath that is to come. Now let's parallel that to your Christian walk. Do you think you put on Jesus to make your flight better or to save you from the wrath that is to come?
I'd be guy number two. I know that God, you know, it's not that he makes things easy at all. By far, it's, like I said, it's more of a challenge and a harder life actually to live your life for Christ. There's so many going against it, but there's a lot going for it these days. And just the fact that with me personally, you know, when things get rough, I can always go to Christ. You know, people are going to let you down, God won't, you know, and he's there for you.
But did you believe in Jesus to make your flight better or to save yourself from the wrath that is to come?
It's a combination, but I would say you know, more to save myself from the wrath that is to come. It's going to be pretty bad.
All right. Hey, tell me your name again.
My name is Garrett.
Garrett, I'm sorry. Thank you very much for talking to me today. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, dude. Thanks.
See you. Enjoy your tattoo magazine. All righty. We are broadcasting from PV Plaza in downtown Minneapolis. We just talked to Garrett, who gave his confession of faith. Now, I need to describe Garrett for you. I probably should have done that before we began talking to Garrett. Garrett's got black hair, and it's cut in a way that you probably wouldn't suspect he's a born-again Christian. He's got a tattoo on his arm, one on his back, and I kind of picked Garrett because I thought, well, this should be interesting. And indeed it was. He's born again. In fact, I think he did awfully fine. Alrighty. You're the surprise of the day, by the way.
Surprise of the day?
Yeah, I didn't have you picked for being a born-again Christian.
Well, there you go.
You never know. Can't judge a book by its cover, I'm telling you. Alrighty. We are broadcasting live from down at PV Plaza in downtown Minneapolis. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.